Okay, it is Gimel Nisan, the 3rd of Nisan, March 26th. I think this is our 5th session, 5th or 6th. And we are on page Chof Ches. Page Chof Ches in the Sefer Musar Avicha. Up to item Vav. Just to review a little bit.
Here we go.
We have... yeah, go ahead.
Is this Rav Kook, Rav Kook, or Rav Kook's father?
Usually when people speak of the Rav Kook, this is Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook.
And which is this? I don't know. Like...
The one whose face you'll see all over, everywhere.
When did he live again?
He passed away in 1935, I believe.
So like the...
His son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda,
is the son. Would,
yeah, that's the son. He actually wrote the footnotes on this sefer.
This is the father.
This is the father.
Tzvi Yehuda is the one with the agriculture.
Yeah, well, more of the application to how they did things in the Medina.
The
that was this is the father. Yeah. Yeah. But like many great Gedolei Olam, everybody's seen his face, and everybody has a slogan or two that they say in his name. Few people. Know the man.
Yeah,
actually read his readings and his writings and understand what he says. Rav Kook is a fascinating figure. His halachic writings are with the full depth and breadth of Kol HaTorah Kula. Actually, last Pesach, I 2 years ago, it's a blur, but actually went through and shul. He had a famous machlokas. I think it was in 1909. He gave a hechsher to an oil-producing company. They had had a need to make sesame oil. They did it in such a way that he felt that it was no problem with kidneys, because even if it had been grain, it was guarded from coming in contact with any water. The halach is that if wheat produces some kind of a sap, and that gets the wheat, but that doesn't make a chametz problem. If you bring outside water and mix that with the wheat, that does create chametz. Anyway, he had given a hechsher, and times were very austere, and he felt it was necessary. And some other rabbanim disagreed with him, and there's an exchange of letters just published back and forth. And both in the halachic reasoning and in the refinement of character, there's a lot to learn from that exchange. With all of his halachic, in fact, we'll probably cite some of his tshuvos. Because in some places in the Chuvos, in his response, he does write on most of subjects too, so maybe we'll see that. But let us continue for now. We're on page Chof Ches, Simen Vav, Yiras Shamayim v'Yiras Chet. Two terms that we use constantly in Musar and Davening, right? When we bench Rosh Chodesh, we say we should have Yiras Shamayim v'Yiras Chet. What do the terms really mean? And as you saw a few paragraphs ago in this sefer, the whole idea of Musar is to accurately define what concepts are. We throw around terms, he said, but the problem is we relate to them superficially, but don't know what they are, and therefore we never delve into what they really mean. Yiras Shamayim v'Yiras Chet. Kol pe'ula, every action, bifrat, particularly by Adas Hashem, in the... congregation of Hashem, meaning the Jewish people, Shabbachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim, that He chose us from all the nations, V'nota B'socheinu Chaye Olam, and He implanted within us eternal life, Nefesh Kedosha Ma'od, a very holy soul. Every human being has a soul. Jewish people have a special role, and therefore a special soul. Margeshes Inyanim Gedolim. Every action, if we're really a subtle machine, feels, senses with it great things. All the Kabbalah literature talk about how every action a person does, what it does in the higher realms. Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim of Elozhin writes that when a person has a bad thought, that's in some ways worse than destroying the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is only a physical structure, but the mind is a spiritual thing. So everything we do has higher level. That's what he means, margeshes and yanam gedolim. It feels great things. V'chol ma'aseh v'hanagasa, and all of its actions and its conduct, meluvashim b'sidre ha'chokma ha'liyona, are cloaked, are clothed in orders of the higher level Chachma. I was just learning recently in the men's Musa group from the Biruchim Levavitzer's writings. How all of Teva, all of the world around us, is very deep wisdom. People think you have to escape to some lofty place to experience Hashem. If the Torah was written, the Torah is the blueprint of this world. It means this world is where Torah applies. It means all the wisdom of Hashem is manifest in this world. You don't have to escape to some miraculous existence. It's all here. So all conduct that's based on Midas, which he said elsewhere, Midas really come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's all with higher level Chochmah. Hamushpa as mimenu yisparach, which is influenced. The word shefa means like a bounty that comes through a conduit, but mushpa means it's influenced, greatly influenced from him. Blessed be he. Bechasuma bechasama ha'emes, and is sealed with his seal of truth. Sometimes you have to wonder why he's using a particular phrase. My feeling is we have a pasuk, Po'alema Shapuloso. It's a tefillah, what we say in Kiddush Levana. Po'alema Shapuloso MS. The true maker, the true producer, all of his products are true. From a great producer, you get a great product. From a producer who's all MS, God is all true, all of his products bespeak truth. We have to be sensitive machines in order to perceive that. But I think he means that in the world around us, real midos, that's the truth of Hashem. Alkein kol po'al shehu tov lefi ha-Torah. Therefore, any action which is good, which is according to Torah, mamshich al ha'osa oso, it brings upon the one who does it, bebechiraso ha-tova, by his good choice and his seichel that is aligned with it. I think what he means is not only did I choose to do the right thing, but as we were talking about last time, it's one thing to choose to do the right thing, but everything in my being really wants to do the wrong thing. That's one level, but that's not aligning. The terminology he used last time is for good midas to be bedrachav, in one ways, for one seichel to recognize and fully feel this is what I should be doing, not just I did it because I had to, but I'd really like to be doing something else. So when I make a good decision through good bechira, through good choice, and my seichel fully recognizes that's the way it should be, when a person does that, so meshach dveikutz ba'otzer ha'chayim v'atov, he feels a drawing of clinging to the storage house, the treasure house of life and good. In a word, you do a mitzvah and you do it wholeheartedly, a lot of good things happen to you. That's a gross oversimplification. But what he's saying is, our neshamas really sense, because they come from achelak elokam imal, they come from above, they sense true goodness and truth. And when my actions are aligned with that, there's a strong connection. Why? Ki yimtza sichlo mutva ba'ofen shava im ha-seichel ha-mushba mimenu yisparach. Because he finds his own personal seichel. Now, mutba, I've mentioned a few times, the word in Hebrew for a coin is matbeya. It's something that is minted. It means when you've given something a set nature. We have a saying, hergel nes teva sheni, when you act, habit becomes second nature. Some of the ways we have nature is by training. But whatever teva means, the way something is. Teva means the way something is, the way it's going to be.
Different
from something haphazard. If I happen to do something, I did a cartwheel. That's not my nature. That's not the way I permanently am. Teva is what is mutba. A person can become mutba through habit.
Okay.
A person can become mutba because that's the way he was created. But it means the way you are. It's pretty much a fixed state of being. So I believe what he means is when a person does mitzvah, when a person chooses and understands to do the right thing, his seichel, the way his mind is working, is now like imprinted, is now minted in a way that is equal. Mutba ba'ofen shava im ha-seichel ha-mushba mimenu yisparach. With the seichel that has been given as a shefa, influence, but influence not the right word, but given as a conduit and a bounty from him, to enjoy the benefit of his light. Meaning, Hashem has his great wisdom in the world. When a person is acting in accord with that, he's synchronized with that, there's a great satisfaction and a great light, where he's going to say in a second, but if he isn't, there's a great friction, a great interference. Yeah.
He's also saying when it becomes part of your character,
right,
when you ingrain it, it becomes part of your character. The mitzvah become part of who you are.
Right, and here he's saying, like, part of your seichel.
Then you're like aligned with Hashem.
Right. I mean, all this Svarim talk about it. Man's greatest gift is Das. His knowledge, it's really the sanctuary of the neshama, is Das. When my Das is just how to gain self-advancement in Olam Hazeh and how to get more than, you know, things that are not really what the higher Chachma, not at all, but the higher Chachma wants, so I am at odds with creation. It's not good to be a creature at odds with the entirety of creation. What he's saying is when a person is doing the right thing and senses it and feels it, then he's synchronized. So v'nimtza sholem, hu ba'atzmo, he himself becomes complete. His part of the universe is complete. It's the way it's supposed to be. V'ro'i memela lios nizan miziv ha'or ha'kloli. Memela is a word we use to mean automatically. Naturally, automatically, it follows that he should be sustained. Nizan, like mizonos, to be sustained from the radiance of the general light. The light of Hashem. Ki drochav mat'imim, because his ways are mat'im, to'umim are twins, things that are equal, or they jive. They're synchronized im hadrochim shebocher bohem hu, with the ways that Hashem chose. But v'im kilkel drachav, halfway down on page Chavches, and the line v'im kilkel drachav, but if he distorts his ways, he corrupts them. Hine himshech al atzmo tzura mutbas hepech achoch mehal yona hashlema. He has now drawn upon himself, again, a tzura is an image that is forged, that is the opposite of the higher chachma, the higher and complete chachma, chachma aliyona hashleima. So there's God's infinite wisdom, but he gives man free will, and now man, by his free will, has made something that's totally at odds with the infinite chachma of the world. And just picture what that looks like.
But is that just lives in Iran right now?
Is the reference to a form, like the flip of the minted?
Well, he's sort of saying he's minted himself.
One is minted towards good.
Yeah, he may.
Evil.
I think the reason why he's talking about a minted form is he's not talking about where a person incidentally did a sin.
No.
In Sadik Barat Asher Yasa Tov Lo Yacht, every person has weakness, but he's talking about where that becomes part of his character.
Right. In the same way, the other side, it's almost like another word
right.
For, you know, if you don't do it, you also become. But instead of using the word mutbach, he's using this other word surah. Which is also,
he also uses the word, he says tzura mutbas, a form that has been minted at odds with. It's like you have this beautiful grand machine, and there's one little device in there that has free will. It can decide if it wants to be like this. It could decide to do the right thing, and then it fits in with everything else, and it's working. Or it could decide to be rotten and ruin everything. So shehi tachas atav, he's at odds with the chachma elyona, the lofty chachma, which is the nth degree of all good. V'ha'achreach l'hagia adav. I'm not sure if he means edyo or adav. There's two words. One means like a love upon him. The other is edyo, which means his reward or his adornment. Either way, ultimately, the ultimate chachma has to be achieved. God's will prevail. So if I'm at odds with it, I'm in a state of being that can't last. And it can't lead to anything good. Kihu hamakom ha'amiti mimakom ha'shalom. That is the true place of where we refer to Hashem as hamakom. Everything is within. He's not within the world. Everything is within him. All roads lead to, everything leads to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now this person has forged for himself something that's at odds with Hashem. Nimtza, we're getting back to Yiras Shamayim and Yiras Chayit in a second. Nimtza sheniskalkel ba'atzmo. It turns out that he has, of his own self, he has become destroyed, ruined, shahat ba'u, and I don't mean permanently, but he's currently messed up, ruined. Sorry, that's the best word for kilkel, is messed up. There's no better. Shahat ba'as tzuras nafsho eino kefi amitas hashleimas. Now the carving or the forming, the minting of the form of his soul is not per the truth of completion. He has free will to be this way, but it's not the way he's supposed to be. Ella, rather, hafucha mimenu. He's the opposite of it. He's reversed from it. Kafi erech achet, per the weight of the sin. Erech means value. If it's a great sin, he's very much distorted. If it's a lighter sin, he's some, a little bit distorted. V'yoser mizen, more than this, shenis rachek, v'tzar gadol, she'i efshelo klal lias nizen miziv or ha'elyon. What, aside from the fact that he's not achieving completion, he is now far away and therefore in great pain because he cannot be sustained by the luminescence of the great light. Ki ovad tamo, because he lost his taste. He's turned himself into a different type of machine that doesn't relate to, doesn't get anything from, it doesn't run on the power that it does. You have something, a machine set up to run on electricity, and he's trying to run on something else. So he's cut himself off and far away from all of that might and that greatness. V'gam yielo lemoras ruach mod, and therefore that's a phrase from Chumash, but it also is like a very unpleasant. That's what the wives of Esav were to Yitzchak, or moras ruach. It means a very unpleasant spirit. Ki kol davar mitzda'er behefcha. This is what it all boils down to. Everything is pained by its opposite. If it's supposed to be X and it's negative X, it's in pain. Everything in the universe, as we learned about in the previous sefer, in the Geshar Chaim, yearns to be in its proper state of being. So he has now taken his soul and incarcerated it and made it into something that it doesn't want to be. He's given it a form that it doesn't want to be in, so it feels pain. V'kan yikbatzu yachad tzar uboshes v'chesron shleimus. And here you have, so gathered together, you have pain and shame and the lack of completion. He's unable to be what he could be. He's ashamed. The neshama is ashamed by it. There's also a pain. These are all descriptions of what chait is. Shemashkif al hadar chochma. He looks upon the grandeur, the greatness of Chachma. In the footnote, he references, I don't know what the point of the reference is. There's a Chazal that says Hadar Chachma is Anova, is humility, but I don't think he's using it that way here. It just means the greatness. He's able to look and see the greatness of Hashem's world, but Upanov Noflos, his face falls, meaning he's sullen. V'roa she'inu yochel is davek ba. He can't cling to it. He's made himself into something else, and therefore he's severed from all of that greatness. Kimumbo, because he has a blemish in him, v'nafsho olov tevel, and his soul therefore mourns upon itself. That's basically an elaboration on what the neshama feels from chait, from the ways of sin. Nimtza ki hapachisus sheba nefesh hi hachait. So this was all to lead us to this definition. It turns out that the lowliness of the soul, that is sin. A person does something lowly, that is the sin. The fear that one wants to avoid this, to guard himself from this, that's yiras chait. When we talk about a person having fear of sin, notice we don't say fear of punishment. We don't say fear. We're not using the term fear of God here. We're talking about fear of sin. What is fear of sin? Fear of the effect that such a thing can have on his soul, which is everything that was just described in the previous page. He doesn't want to be cast away, ashamed, removed from all of that. V'hayira mitzad richa ka'orha elokimi menu uboshes pana v'tzaro zehu yiras shamayim. So he says when we use the term yiras shamayim, it's not so much the sin itself. It's not that I don't want to lower myself. It's thinking more about the effect. I want to have that closeness to Hashem. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to have the pain of being the opposite of what I'm supposed to be and therefore far away from Hashem. That's Yiras Shamayim. So I sort of rolled it all into one in the first, but he's saying the fear of lowliness of the soul is Yiras Chait, and the fear of being far away and ashamed and embarrassed and so on, that's Yiras Shamayim. Wants to be close to Shema. He doesn't want to do anything that would make him far away. Okay, I don't think nothing very difficult here. I think he's just telling us we're supposed to look at things in the broader sense. It's not Hashem said don't do this, so don't do this. That's of course correct, but this is what does chait do? He's making himself at odds with the Ratzon Hashem. V'hine, and behold, ha'odam shechanano ha'kel yis'al abina slave. A person that God has favored him with good understanding of the heart. L'haskil b'nyane ha'avoda, to use his seichel, in matters of avoda. V'taras alev, and purification of the heart. L'hisalach l'fanav yisbarach, to walk before, walk before Hashem. Lo yimtza koras ruach klal. He will not find any tranquility. He'll never be at ease. Im yazov his bonanuso lufi erko. If he will abandon his contemplation lufi his level, according to his value. What he means is, the greater a person's seichel, the more he is able to understand matters of Hashem, and therefore the more he doesn't use. Ritzel Kuttner has a famous piece in one of his writings where. Doesn't like that the yeshivas use the term steiging. The person's learning what they say, he's steiging. Steiging means like thriving. He says, when you're thriving, it means, he gives an example from, let's say, making money. He says, if I could get on with X amount of money, and I'm making four times that amount, so we say I'm steiging. He says, but Torah, it's not that way. The greater potential a person has, the greater mind and heart a person has, the more he or she needs of Torah, the more you need to understand. If a person is granted the ability to really understand things and is not misbone and doesn't contemplate it, so there's no tranquility. He's talking particularly in matters of midos and so on. There's no peace. Ve'eino rashoi lazo, he's not allowed to abandon it. The Chovos Halvavos says that seichel is the gift that Hashem gives us as a Rebbe. Hashem gives us Seichel, there's the Torah, I mentioned this last week also, I think, there's the Torah, but then the Seichel is how you understand the Torah. So Hashem gives us a Seichel, the Seichel wants to understand. Ki im nisinoso chelko haroi l'chelok hamasi shebatorah, with the giving to him of his proper portion in Torah, olav l'havin ki zehu ma sheroi lo l'fi shorish nishmoso. Sifrei Kabbalah talk about where a person's soul is hewn from, and a higher level means a higher potential. Whatever he's able to understand, that's because his neshama needs that. It's not just, by chance, this person has a great kishar and great talent in this area or that area. The greater the talent is, that God gave him or her that those capabilities because the neshama needs that. As I said before from Rav Hutner, there's nothing extra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the faculties our neshama needs. So if he has a faculty, he has an ability to purify himself, to understand these things, and doesn't work on it, the neshama is left starved. Al-Kain, therefore, ba'ozvo, ze yibotzer mimenu hemshech ha-kedusha v'ayirah v'ashashua v'chedvos Hashem. So when he abandons that, if he doesn't work on that, he'll be lacking the drawing upon himself of the holiness and the fear of God, and the shashua means like the rejoicing in the chedva of Hashem, ma she'en ken b'mi she'enu muchan kol kach, which is not the case for somebody who's muchan means prepared, but he means not as capable. That neshama doesn't need as much. That neshama will be sated with using its faculties, but a neshama that has greater potential, this is why all Musar is about, that the greater potential, that's not something to brag about. Oh, I'm very smart. Yeah, well, then that means Hashem expects more from me. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, I know I have a mind like 200 people, but Hashem expects from me like 200 people. I think I don't know, 200, 2,000. He had a great mind, but therefore God wants more of him, and his neshama needs more. That's this idea.
It's reminding me, my dad used to observe that people who were highly intelligent were less happy. And it fits with this, because they weren't using it.
Yeah, I mean, the Pasuk says, Barov Chochma, Rov Koas. With great Chochma comes great anger and frustration. Sometimes it's because a person understands more problems in the world and doesn't find the solutions. But I think also the two could be related, that a person was given the ability to understand more and hasn't fed that, so he's left starved. And the Chovos Halvavos says, Seichel is really to recognize and understand Hashem. Other things, other forces within a person corrupt it and convince him he should just use it for that, use his mind for this. But Seichel is really, there's a Nivra, there's a created, and there's the creator, and he gave the created. I'm talking about man here, I'm not talking about other things which are just Teva. The other beings intuit God and don't need to think about it, but man needs to work on it. His seichel is his ability to do it. If he doesn't do that, he uses his seichel, he becomes great in this field, in that field, in the other field, but he doesn't use that as a means to ultimately to see Hashem. He's left starving, and the greater the seichel, the more the malnutrition.
It's like an outrage. That you see so many people who don't appreciate this concept, baffled by the idea that these people go to Eretz Yisrael and they learn. They could have come back and gone to MIT. How could they give it up? You know, but like the greater the the secular potential, the more frustrated people are. Like the notion that they're giving up this world in order for the other. But it's very much those that have been seen as so capable with incredible depth that are in many ways.
Right, because it depends where you think the end of the story is.
Exactly.
I've mentioned in the past, I once heard a recording from Professor Aaron Tversky. I think he was speaking at an Aguda convention or something. He was talking about, he's a law professor and one of the prestigious universities. And a kid came in and like was having all the stress from what they were doing then. And the kid said, why am I doing this? He said, well, you got to pass these. He said, and then what? He said, well, then you'll go on to the next year. And said, and then what? And this was a secular kid. He said to him, and then what? He said, well, then you'll be successful. You'll get into a good firm. He said, the kid pushed, like he didn't know what he wanted at first. Like he thought he just wanted to know what's going to happen in his training. But he said, and then what? And at a certain point, he said, you know, and I had nothing to tell him. Okay, and then what? It all has to be there for a purpose, some higher purpose. When you keep asking, and then what? So you say, he could have gone back and trained himself, but then what? What does it lead to? There's this whole neshama that's starving, and it doesn't get what it's yearning for. And that connects right into the next piece. The next piece, I think, is very, very important as an introduction to Mussar in general. And it's connected. He just spoke about how we need to work on Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Chet. The neshama yearns for that. So how's that done? Zion, limud hayira ukviyasa, the study of fear of God and like inculcating it. Or actually, he might mean ukviyusa and it's establishing, meaning establishing the practice of study. That's what he might mean in this heading. I'm not sure. Sibas hadavar, the cause of the matter of the thing, she'ein nifratz karoi hatalmud hadarish l'nyanei ha'avoda, that it is not properly spread out, meaning widespread, the study that is needed for matters of service of Hashem. Nifratz mean like, well, it says in chazon nifratz, in the beginning of the book of Shmuel, prophecy wasn't widespread, it was limited. So he's saying the study of Mussar is not properly widespread. Afal pisha bevadei limud godol ve'iyun rav hu doresh, even though it is definitely a great study and requires great iyun. He defined in the previous section that chachma is anything that needs iyun. Chachma is something that needs analysis and thought, and this does need that. We really said it's the only thing that needs that. Hein yiras Hashem hi chachma. You recall the previous piece. So why is that? Yesh lomar mipnei sheteva hasecha lahaskil dafka. Because it's the nature of seichel, lahaskel. What he means, I believe, is the nature of the mind is to work on things that require, you know, to exercise itself. You don't want to sit there all day doing 3 + 4 and 5 + 2. You want to do things that are challenging. The seichel wants, give me something that's maskil, that requires seichel, that exercises my mind. V'hinei b'emes hadoros holchu Holchim v'chaserim b'das ha'amiti. And the truth is, the generations have gone on and are going on and increasingly getting smaller in true das. The true wisdom is getting smaller. I mean, we see this. You study Torah, we see it somehow. Rishonim were able to say things in a few words and understand it. And then the Achronim have to unpack it and we have to work on it. Sometimes we don't know what they mean. V'imki heinichu lonu bracha rabosenu harishonim v'achronim b'sifreim v'nyanei ha'avoda. In fact, by the way, I should mention, I spoke at Shalosh Shudas in our shul, and I mentioned, I was talking about Rav Scheinberg, who just was nifter, and the very first page of his work that he wrote over 60 years ago, Tabas HaChoshen, a work on Choshen Mishpat, but he talks about the toil needed in Torah, and he cites something actually from Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, who was a Rosh Yeshiva in Hebron and Slobodka, yeshivas who wrote about this, and he spoke about how Chazal said, our sages said, that a person who rules from Mishnah, makes paskins just from Mishnayos, that's no good. You need to have the Gemara. The Gemara is the logic of it. He says, for us, ruling from the Gemara or the Rishonim is, for them, ruling from the Mishnah, because we need further elaboration. There's an idea that the Torah is given in klolim, and you try to take it out to pratim. It's given in general rules, and you try to unpack it to its details. The greater the people are, the more they can speak a general rule, and the Talmud understands from that all of the details. Because the Torah is aruka meir, it's midah or chava miniyam. It's vast and it's deep. So how does a Rebbe give over to a Talmud? So you see that. You see that in Musar. Yisrael Salanta would say a sentence, and this Talmidim would explain, you know what he meant? And they'd write a few pages. So that's what was done in the earlier generations. So, v'im ki hinichu lona bracha, v'sen rishon rachonim, even though the earlier generations left us great blessing, v'sifreihim, in their works, binyane ha'avoda, in matters of avoda, we have great Musar Sfarim, great works on emuna, and so on. Yesh mehem shedibru b'katzara. Some of them spoke in short, very cryptically. Ve'enu maspik lahavonos anshe darenu, and it's not sufficient for the understanding of people in our generation. I mentioned this when we were learning the Gesher HaChaim. Why did we find that sefer so moving? He didn't mean to be saying anything new that isn't in the Torah of the Rishonim, but I need someone like him to elaborate for me on what they meant. There's so many times in a later sefer, he gives you a whole paragraph and he says, and that's what this means in this earlier sefer. He says, oh, now I understand. So it's not enough for the people in our generation, kiyim l'sgula mehem, except for the exceptional among them. Kulei hai v'ulai, that's an expression. Kulei hai v'ulai means all of this and hopefully. It's an expression when, like, you need all the help you can get, and then you still have to pray. I mean, you do kula, all of this, and then it's still a maybe. Kulei hai, all of this, v'ulai, and maybe. And you have to be one of the uniquely gifted people in Chachma, and all of that, and maybe you'll understand it, the writings of the earlier generations. I quoted, I think, in my book of Drushas, the story, I think it was with Rabbunim of Pshischa, two great Rebbes. One of them said to the other, I may be getting the details wrong, you could look it up, but Parshas HaZinu, and one of them said, tell me a Dvar Torah on HaZinu, and it says in the Chumash there, Moshe told the words of the Torah to the Bnei Yisrael, Ad Tumam, until their completion. So his Dvar Torah was, Ad Tumam. And the other Rebbe smiled. He just repeated two words in the Chumash, I guess with a certain way of looking. And then one of the other rebbes who was sitting there explained what he meant. He meant not ad tumam, the completion of the words, the Torah till the completion of the Jewish people. Yeah. But like we'd be sitting there, we'd know what was the Dvar Torah. He said two words from Chumash. The point is, like, some of they say something and you have to dehear it. You have to understand what they're saying. So anyway, v'yesh mehem shedibru b'inyanim gevoim ad shel. Some of them spoke about. So one problem is they speak tersely. It's too terse for us. Or some spoke about things gavoim, that they're so lofty, ad shelemishelo hiskilo adayin, that for somebody who has not yet had his seichel work on darkei hayira v'havoda, the ways of fear of Hashem and service of Hashem, be'erech hamuat, even a little bit, lefitara seichel ha'anoshi, per man's limited understanding, you hadvarim lohem kedivri ha'sefer ha'chosim. The words for them will be like a closed book. There are some svarim, and they're available. You can open them up, and you will have ready confirmation of this. The author is clearly referring to something real and concrete that he understands. But you read the words, and you don't know what. I don't know what he is saying, and he's not even speaking a different language. I could translate the words, but I don't know what he's telling me. So, ve'od siba nosefes. So those are two reasons why it's hard to work on Yiras, because some of the works we have. And I think since he wrote that, we have many svarim that help bridge that gap for us and help get us to relate to some of those deeper ideas. But there's another cause. Va'od siba nosaf is an additional reason. And this is, I think, the one that we can contemplate a lot. Kisaras halev hispalus hanefesh. like the storm of the heart and the moving. To be poel is to move. To be mispael is to be moved by something. Misnagedes legamri lechachma shetis yashev ba'adam. Turning the page. It is entirely at odds with misnaged. Misnagdim were opponents. So to be misnaged is to be opposed. It entirely opposes. Legamri means entirely. Not this season, every day for me about chametz gomor. Absolute chachma versus things that might have chosen. Gomor, legamri is an Aramaic word, but it means entirely. As used today also in Hebrew, lachachma shetis yashev ba'adam, to chachma being settled with equilibrium in a person. What he means, he's going to elaborate on this, I'll just summarize the idea. What he's going to say is that people think that here's what happens. I'm reading a Musar work, I'm reading some great sefer that talks about the subtle ideas in the service of God, and it's very subtle. And really to understand it, what I should be doing is trying to think and get to the bottom of what it really means, what do the words really mean, as we've spoken about before. Instead of that, that's too hard, I'm not getting it. So instead it fires me up. Yeah, you gotta be good. So I feel emotionally moved, and I think that that's the chachma of Musar. And it's a mistake. The chachma of Musar is not getting fired up. It's not a pep talk. It's not the coach saying, all right, go out there, team, and say, oh, we're going to go out there and do some mitzvahs today. Yeah, that's not what the chachma of Musar is. He says, to the contrary, being out of equilibrium is not good for chachma. Once your chachma determines what you should do, it's good to have those emotions follow. The Chazon Ish that we learned here some while back spoke about this exactly. He says, Dimyon is emotional thinking, and Seichel is pure thinking. The Seichel leads, and the Seichel has to be totally unaffected, unemotional, pure Seichel. Then when that determines what I should do in life, and now I understand it well, follow with the emotions and emotionally pursue what the Seichel told me to do. But when you mix the two into a scrambled egg, it's no good. Then you don't really get to the bottom of what the great authors, what the Torah is really telling us. That's what he says here, that emotion, being emotional, what he just called a storm of the heart, is not actually good for chachma. V'im ki tova hi lefamim. Even though it is sometimes good, hispalus tova ukedosha, again, to be misspelled, to be moved, good and holy, let's call it inspiration, eina kiyem likvoa biyoser ba'umek hanefesh es kinyan hada'as shekvar konsa. It is only to establish more in the depths of the soul the acquisition of the das that it already has acquired. Through Seichel, we study Torah, we have to try to understand. But now that I've understood what it means, a human being is not a computer. It has to be moved into his soul in a more emotional way, so the emotions follow and do that. We'll talk soon. This is really the difference between Torah and Tefillah. Tefillah is emotional. Torah is intellectual. Oz yishtaresh yoser v'yukar yoser. Then it will take root from the word shoresh. It will be more firmly rooted, and it will be more recognized. When you feel something emotionally, you're able to relate to it more. Avol kvius das. I guess for Haskell, but the first, establishment of the das in the seichel b'tchilasa, in its beginning, menucha shleima drushala. It needs absolute menucha. Menucha is absolute tranquility. And he quotes from Chazal. It's beautiful the way he does this. He develops an idea, and then he gives you one line from Chazal where they say, "Vishmaitze boy tzelosa kiyoma de istina." The Gemara, you can see the footnote, it's a Gemara in Megillah. Shmaitza means the sugya, means the thing we're learning in Gemara. The subject we're learning needs tzilusa, it needs like tranquility, like a clear day. You go outside and it's storming and it's raining, it's windy, you can't think straight, but you go outside and it's the ocean, the waves, and you're just meditating on this one thing, you feel like you can think much more clearly. To think about any subject in Torah properly needs absolute tranquility. Great Gedol Yisrael have this ability that no matter what's going on and what the pressures are, when they're thinking about something, nothing else exists. And I wrote about the Chazon Ish, he could focus on one problem for like hours straight, just without any distraction. I don't do these kind of advertisements, but there's actually a nice little clip about Rav Avadya Yosef that's available on the internet. It shows what his day is like. He's got a line of people outside, and there's this going to... But he's sitting there, he's really got his svarim piled up, and he's just, he's working. There's a guy standing here, and a guy over there. To come to a proper conclusion in Torah requires tranquility. Kal v'chomer, how much more so, b'dvarim hakadoshim. In holy things, you know, that statement of the Gemara is talking about any subject. I'm trying to figure out a halacha and the laws of Netilas Yadayim, or, you know, Malacha and Shabbos, or whatever it might be. How much more so in the holy things, Hazakim Kinyani HaAvodah HaShlem, if you're talking about Avodah per se, not just, you know, what's the halacha if this litigant says you stole from me and this one says like that, but if it's about the matters of serving Hashem itself. Uzman tfila l'chud, uzman Torah l'chud. That is a phenomenal reference. I have to tell you that those six words helped me understand something in a way that I never understood it before. That's a quote from a Gemara. Uzman tfila l'chud means the time for tfila is alone and is separate, and the time for Torah is alone. The context, and you can see it's a Gemara in Shabbos in the first chapter in the footnote. The context is, it says that Rava saw Rav Hamnuna. I may have quoted this Gemara in some other context here, I don't remember. But Rava saw Rav Hamnuna, that he was davening very long. Is davening? Whenever the Gemara talks about davening, it's what we call Shemona Esrei, the Amida, the silent meditation on Hashem. And he was davening for a very long time. And Rava criticized Rav Hamnuna. I don't know if he said it to him or to others. He said, Manichim chaye olam v'oskim b'chaye shah. There are people who abandon eternal life and get themselves caught up with ephemeral life, which is a fascinating statement to begin with, because it means he's calling tefillah, prayer, ephemeral life. Torah is eternal. What is tefillah? Tefillah is begging Hashem for our needs. Not that he means it's the same thing as, you know, playing golf, but he means it's ephemeral in that it has to do with the here and now. It's bringing Hashem into the here and now. Torah, the acquisition of Das, is eternal. So, in many of the Gemara talks about it in many places, Torah in many ways being greater than Tefillah. So, Rav Hamnuna was davening for a long time, was going into the time when they would have been studying Torah. He was praying for too long. So, Rava criticizes him. But the Gemara says, everybody knows that part of the Gemara, but people forget that the Gemara has an answer. The Gemara says, "Vehu savar," but he held, meaning Rav Hamnuna, the one who was davening for a long time, "Zman tefila lechud, uzman Torah lechud." That each one has its own time, and what the Gemara means to be using it there is he held that if he's in the middle of davening, he doesn't have to worry about serving Hashem in another way, which is something that Cook writes about in this sefer, I believe, if not somewhere else in his writings. When you're serving Hashem in one way, you don't have to think about how could I serve him in a different way. When you're serving Hashem through one means, nothing else exists. So he held, if I'm davening now, I'm connected to Hashem this way, I don't have to think about another means of serving Hashem. But there's clearly a deeper, or broader meaning of this as well. And this is, there's a constant tension when you really study the Chochmah between Tefillah and Torah, because they're almost opposite systems, as we're seeing here. Torah is unemotional. I'm trying to use my intellect to understand the wisdom, and I can't be emotional, because if I get emotional, I'm going to misinterpret something. It has to be pure, honest analysis. We've seen in the Moshe Svarim, a person's midos are even bad. If I'm being affected by a negative mida, I'll come to a wrong interpretation in Torah. Torah requires absolute tranquility. It's unemotional.
Yeah. Which is what, I'm not saying this is why, but perhaps, you know, that the halachos around an avel, that you're an onan, that you probably, maybe it has something to do with it, when you're in the midst of like great emotional upheaval, you are not obligated.
Yeah, and there, it's sort of that I'm supposed to be so in a state of commotion and tumult to take care of the needs of the nifta that one cannot. It's not even tefillah, it's really all mitzvahs. But the Rambam writes, a person has to check his state of being. If he's able to have kavanah, he should daven. If he can't, he can't daven.
If he can't, right.
Right, it requires... that's channeling the emotions. See, Torah requires unemotional. Yeah.
Right.
Tefillah requires conjuring up emotion. Torah is deleting emotion. So they're almost opposite systems. tefillah is getting emotional. It's feeling the connection to Hashem, pouring out one's heart of the b'chol levavchem. It's pouring out your heart. Torah is not that way. And what he's telling us is that even the study of Yirah and Musar is also not that way. That follows it. If I've just learned about how great Hashem is and how I need to, then my emotion should say, all right, now let's do this and let's get fired up. But in interpreting what the midos are and what I should do, I can't be emotional yet because this also requires chokhmah. So when he uses that reference, zman tefillah l'chud, zman Torah l'chud, that's a whole concept he's saying there, which is there's the emotional time for serving Hashem and then there's the unemotional chokhmah time of serving Hashem, and you shouldn't mix the two. When I'm davening, I'm not trying to think up new pshatim and, you know, new explanations and what the words of Shemona Esrei mean. I'm supposed to connect to Hashem. And when I'm learning, I'm not davening, and the twain shall never meet. And if it is true that it is proper and really obligatory, lahakdim tshuva ve'emuna ve'yira pshuta l'chol limud. This is the very same idea that Rav Chaim of Elojana writes about. Lest you overstate the case or take what we just said too far, it's not true. One has to be in a state of Yiras Shemayim to study Torah. So we do need tshuva. We have to approach Torah with tshuva and faith and fear of God, a simple fear of God, before any study. Uma gam lelimud hayira, and how much more so if what you're about to study. I'm about to study Musar, but I don't feel like coming at it with any Yiras Shemayim. So that's true. There has to be a little bit, and if you know a little bit about what the Sefer Nefesh HaChayim, particularly the fourth section of it, deals with, he's responding to a Musar movement gone overboard, where he's complaining that people have replaced Torah with Musar, and he wants to bring it back to proper equilibrium. So he talks about how we have to study all the Torah, the wisdom of Hashem, and we have to work hard at it. He said, but don't misunderstand me. Before we study Torah, we do need to be in a state of fear of God. And we do need, it's not just any science, it does need the fear of Hashem, but that's beforehand. He says, do that beforehand. But when actually, which is what Rav Kook's saying here also, it has to be preceded. Before I sit down to study, some people even say a tefillah before they start learning, I need a certain mindset. But once I've started, I can't be caught up with emotions. Torah is not tefillah. It shouldn't, when you're actually doing it, it's not emotional. Avos sa'aras ha'nefesh. But the storm of the soul. And there's a place for having storm in the soul. There's a place for a person being overwhelmed with emotion. But that's tefillah. But saras hanefesh kefi hamuchroch roi lahagbalo zmanacher. As much as saras hanefesh is necessary, but it should be confined. The gvul is a border. It's appropriate to define it, to give it its border to some other time. Lahakdim o la'acher. Before or after. Aval halimud yeh b'menucha b'yishuv b'simcha, but the actual study should be again in menucha, a state of tranquility. Yishuv hadas means when one's in equilibrium, b'simcha, and with joy. In our svarim, being out of a state of joy is being out of sorts. Simcha doesn't mean I'm, you know, whistling down. The simcha means is a general happiness, a satisfaction. And without that, we see in all of the Svarim, the person couldn't have prophecy without Simcha, can't have Ruach HaKodesh without Simcha. So Torah study requires Simcha, which you mentioned Avelis before. That's part of why an Avel doesn't study Torah, because
that's what I was
Misam Chelev, he's out of the state of Simcha. They write about that. The Avel, he can't relate to Torah, because Torah needs and is a state of joy. Kimo Shehurunu Chazal, as our sages taught us, b'memchas dvarim shel kinyan Torah, there's a brises that talk about the 48 things that are needed to acquire Torah. One of them is v'hainu simcha shel menucha. It needs a state of joy, of tranquility. Shemegareshes kol ruach etzev. It chases away. Megareshes means to divorce. It removes any spirit of sadness. You can see already in Tanakh, the people who have a state of sadness, Shaul HaMelech has this bad ruach that comes over him and he's out of sorts, and then he doesn't think straight. It's a terrible thing, and he's David to play the harp to try to get him back. But a person is out of a state of simcha, it's bad. He cannot process Torah. Mitzad bechinas hasechel bebitochem sholim halalukim. So he's giving us an insight here. Where does that simcha come from? It comes from the seichel's recognition of a full reliance of Hashem, a full feeling of security in Hashem. Vahaskolas tuvo. I don't even know what haskolas tuvo means. The seichel of his goodness. I maybe it means contemplating and understanding Hashem's goodness that's all around. I'm not sure really what it means. Sometimes it's the easiest phrase, it's the hardest to figure out what it means. But oz yatzliach, and then he'll be successful. But that, generally, he needs to be in a state of happiness and awareness of the goodness of Hashem and bitachon on Hashem. And he needs to feel secure and happy with his creator, with Hashem, and then he'll be successful. So, being that that's the case, umibnei sheteva kol limud, and since it is the nature of every study, lahasir ma'at is kochos hanefesh. He keeps using that word sa'ara. Sa'ara is like a storm. To fire, I'll say it in English, colloquially, to fire up a little bit the faculties of the soul, it moves us a little bit. I read this, I got emotional. I read that, it moves us. V'harba yoser miteva kol limud hu b'inyan limud hayira v'chol prote ha'avoda. And how much it's more so than the nature of any other limud is when what you're learning about is fear of Hashem and the details of his service. In other words, if learning about baking matzah might get me a little bit emotional about matzah, but learning about how I should fear God and how great God is and how I must serve him, that's going to make me more emotional. It follows naturally. Because of the natural tendency of the soul to relate to them. So he's pointing out an irony. That's a good thing at one level, that when we learn about how we have to fear Hashem, we become emotional. But davar zegoreim lemisha ein ahavas bakoshas ha'emes. This causes for somebody who doesn't have a love of the pursuit of truth, shehi drishas Hashem yisbarach, which is really the seeking of Hashem. I want to know the real truth. I don't want to know some nice pithy statement to say over. I want to know the real truth of the wisdom of Hashem. Kavua bohetiv, if it isn't well established within him, ve'eino ma'ayin bedvarim hazakim ha'ela kiyem mitzar ol ha'chova sheshama, and he doesn't look into these things, he doesn't study these things except from the burden of obligation, sheshama, that he heard. It means, this is my tradition, I was told this is what I'm supposed to do, I've been taught that way, but if I don't, of my own, have a great thirst for it, a great yearning for it, I'm just doing it because that's what I'm told, which means I don't have a real yearning for this chachma. Okay, sometimes in yeshivas we have a musar seder. So the Rebbe said, you better be sitting in front of a musar book from 10:15, 10:30, or you're in trouble. But maybe I'm not really, I don't really seek to know the wisdom, so if I can read it and translate it, so I'm happy with that. So, imotze hu ba'atmo shelavavo nissa, this is the irony of it. If he finds in himself that his heart has been stirred up, he keeps using that word sa'ara, l'simcha v'inyonei ha'ava ola charoda v'inyonei ha'yira, to joy in matters of ahava, or to trembling in matters of yira. So just to illustrate what I believe he means, I'm sitting in front of a Mesilas Yesharim, a classic Musa work, and there's great depth there. This is Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, who wrote all of these deep svarim. The Vilna Gaon read the Mesilas Yesharim, said there's not an extra word in it, it's great chachma. So I'm reading it, because I have to, because it's 10:15, so I'm reading it, and if I find when I was reading something about Avas Hashem, I felt love of Hashem, or I'm reading about fear of God, I felt in my heart fear of God, Husover Shabazeh hu mashlim chuko. He thinks that he has fulfilled his obligation. Chok is like a law. He thinks he's fulfilled, he's completed the course. Varehu misrapa. This is an incredible insight. Varehu misrapa ba'atzma mehayadiya ha'amitis. And he's really, misrapa means like to be lazy, to loosen your grip. Rough is like a loose grip. He's really being lax in himself from the true knowledge. Instead of trying to plumb the depths of what it's really telling me, if I felt stirred up, oh, that's what Musa Seder is about. I felt emotional today. I got really fired up. V'dover ze mitztarif l'masha hadvarim bo'u b'katzar. He said, now add to that, this combines with the fact that the words are spoken in brief, as we said before. The greater the author, the more likely that he spoke cryptically. B'sifreim shel chachamim, in the writings of the great chachamim. U'lefum riyata ein bohem mala'ayin. L'fum riyata means superficially. from a superficial look at it, it looks like there's nothing to analyze. So look at what's happening here. There's a book in front of him that has great chachma, but you have to really contemplate it, and you have to really think about it with your seichel. But when he just looks at it like, yeah, you have to fear Hashem, he's great. So it looks like there's not really much to contemplate. When I was learning Gemara, that was complicated. That required real seichel. But now I'm reading this. It's from a great chacham, but I don't really see anything great here. So what am I doing here? He said at the beginning, the seichel wants lahaskil. I want to do something. Yeah, I don't want to do 5 + 5. I want to do something. So I'm looking at a book. It doesn't look very deep. So what is the task here? Oh, so if I get emotional, that must be what I was supposed to do. So I think I fulfilled the study of Yira. But says Rav Kook, and really all of the Chachmei HaMusa, you see this in everything that they write. It's all deep. It's deep studies in what the kochos and what a person's midos are about, what he really has to do. It requires careful analysis and thought, and some of it's even harder than halachic logic, because when we use terms, you have to figure out and relate to what they really mean, as Rav Kook wrote about earlier, and there aren't really words to define something. Like, it's like defining the color red, defining what it really means to feel anova or yirat shamayim, and you have to really work at it. But because I don't see it that way, because shu motze chiddush hargosha b'leiv, a person's always looking for chiddush, something new. So what did I find new? Oh, today I felt hargosha b'leiv, a feeling in the heart. Hu bo lahachlit, he comes to conclude to the decision mizeh from this. Sha'ach zos hi Torah sayira, that only this, just that, that is the Torah of Yira, the study of the fear of God. Avol bo mizeh ro'a gedolav hashkochas shemo yisbarach. It comes to this. A great bid, and really the forgetting of the name of Hashem. The name of Hashem means all the wisdom of trying to connect to Hashem, and this leads to the forgetting of that. Shehu ikar hachayim hashleima, which is the core, that's the main thing of full life. Shekasher sa'araso overs, when his state of being stirred up, again that word sa'ara, when that passes, eino motze benafsho ma'uma. He doesn't find in his soul anything. If it's just getting emotional, says Rav Kook, that will pass. And therefore, in his heart, he comes to denigrate the whole subject of Yira. I don't know. I've done it. Did it last week? Got fired up. It passed. If that's what I think all of Yira is, I'll call upon him Yivrach Yosel Limudim. At any rate, even if he doesn't fully denigrate it, he'll run away to study Shemotze Sichlo Mokom Lizgaderbom. Mokom Lizgader means. It's a term used in Svarma, but it means where he finds an area to excel. I was learning this halacha, I was learning Chumash with Rashi and Farshim. I had an interesting question, interesting. There was something to work on, but here, I don't know, I open it up, I get a little fired up, an hour later, or 2 days later, or a week later, but I'm back where I was. And because he doesn't think there's any chachma there, and he thinks the task is something other than what the task really is, he comes to rejected. I think this is a phenomenal diagnosis, and this is what the Chachmei HaMusar bemoaned, that people, the Mesillas Yesharim writes in the first page, this is a great Chachma, but people don't study it. Rav Kook is explaining to us why. So we see, and we don't have time now to get into it, but I think he's even going to say, people are also used to thinking in things that have very strict, like Lumdisha concepts. In Gemara, there's very strict definitions. You can categorize it like this and like that. And the great Chachamim have given to us terms and tools to analyze. The study of Yiras Hashem is more abstract. It's real, but it requires a different level of thinking. And then he says if people don't relate to it right away, they think there's nothing there, and they abandon it. And there's all of the Sfarim, right? The Chavos HaVavos writes, it's so unfortunate if I have 14 Divrei Torah to say on the fifth chapter of Maseches Gittin, but what's life about that? I find boring, or it's an unappealing study. So therefore, we have to realize that it has depth, and you can see that the same way Rav Kook elaborates on something as simple as Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Chei, where everything we study, especially in the areas that seem less complicated and have to do with Midos and Yiras Shamayim, it requires a true study. And that's something to really reflect on. That is a commentary on a lot that what we just saw on that the previous page. Okay, so we're in a season where we contemplate Yiras Hashem and Hashem's special relationship with us. And all of the cleaning and the preparation should go easy, and you should enjoy the cheiros of what that all is meant to lead to. And we'll reconvene after Yom Tov, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Is there school right after this school starts?